As our next guest has to teach a class? Seriously, John?
That's
you have to
the
go
case.
Teach a class.
A real job.
Oh, yes. For goodness sake.
Well, you know, a couple times a week.
Real close to the mic there, right? We're joined by Dr. John Affleck, who we've had you on before.
Yep.
From the Belisario College of Communications. Love that title.
Yes.
What do you do over there? Tell us what you do.
I run the Curley Center for Sports Journalism. So if students are interested in sports and communication and a career that way, or they just love to do it and make the content, then they come see me.
How many kids do you have?
It's honestly about doubled in the past 3 or 4 years. We've done a lot of cool things, and people are just really, I mean, sports is a one-way accordion. People love it and keep loving it, and so we're just rolling. We're about 100 students are in the center right now.
Holy mackerel,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I had no idea. And the reason that it's booming is what? People are more interested in sports now, or...?
Yes, and, you know, if you have a choice, if you're 20 and you have a choice between covering the city council meeting and covering the Penn State basketball game, what are you going to pick?
Yep. Okay. State College Borough Council, you did not hear that. Okay? You did not hear
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
Anyway. Well, anyway, I asked you, you know, I reached out to you the other day because last week I'm watching, you know, news on TV, and this story comes up about sports gambling, which is starting to become a pretty hot issue, and your face comes popping up on the screen.
Yep.
All right. Now, what? Tell us that story. Why did they contact you?
Well, the secret behind the scenes story is the producer of the segment is a Curley Center alumnus. Yes, that's right. We put him everywhere, and so when my name popped up on an article about sports gambling, he reached out. And so that was really a cool moment. I got about 10 seconds of airtime in between a bunch of congressmen and senators. So there we go.
You were far more interesting.
Okay. No doubt.
Now, what's the gist of either that story or what's the gist of what's going on with this issue of sports gambling right now?
Sure. What's starting to get some attention in sports gambling is the issue, particularly of what's called prop betting or live betting, and the tremendous growth that has happened in sports gambling that maybe people didn't realize, and some of the potential harm to the games and to the people gambling that are going on right now.
Okay. And that doesn't sound good.
No, it's probably not so great.
Okay. For folks who don't follow this, and we've mentioned this, we've talked about this a number of times, some maybe like recent examples. There was one in baseball. There's something going on in basketball. What's going on?
Right. The thing that sparked all this is a couple of scandals that are happening. One in the NBA where three different people, including Chauncey Billups from Portland, the coach there, have been charged with various ways of passing along information that can be used by bettors. And then in baseball, a couple of pitchers from the Cleveland Guardians were, and this will sort of illustrate what's going on, and then I can get into it, is they were accused of deliberately throwing balls as opposed to strikes on a particular pitch in a particular inning when bettors had, like, stacked up, had money on whether the pitch would be a ball or a strike. And that is a perfect example of what's called a prop bet. For people who aren't familiar with sports betting, a prop bet is a bet not on the outcome of a game, like who will win or lose, but one particular thing that happens in a game. Will LeBron James score more or less than 20 points in a basketball game? Will the first pitch in the second inning be a ball or hit batsman, or will it be a strike? And so you can bet on all manner of things. And they're kind of the kind of bets that in in gambling parlance are sticky. You know, if you're watching the game, you might get into the idea of betting the over-under on the first half results or the way things are going. I really think this guy's hot. I'm going to bet on him, bet on an individual to top their expected point total. So that's basically what a prop bet is. And the danger with prop bets in particular versus sort of match fixing, where you, in a team sport, you probably need more than one person, you know, basically throwing a ball game. We all remember eight men out from the Black Sox scandal of the 1919, is that, you know, whether someone makes a free throw or not, whether someone, you know, throws a strike or not, is pretty much under their control. And so it poses a bigger sort of danger to the integrity, you know, the integrity of the whole game.
Have we, John, I don't bet. I just don't do that. Mm-hmm. All right. I enjoy, watch the games, enjoy the games. Have we always had these bets? I'm talking about prop bets now. I never heard of these until recently. I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention. Have we always had these things?
I mean, it's always hard to say there was a first anything, but prior to 2018 and the Supreme Court decision, which allowed states to decide whether they wanted to legalize sports gambling writ large rather than just like Vegas, betting was through bookies, through illegal bookies exclusively, and they're still in business. But like illegal bets were more along the lines of straight up bets on the results of games or against the spread, meaning the difference in winning and losing in terms of points. And other things like that. Prop bets have really gotten very popular as sports gambling has become legal in now 39 states in the District of Columbia since the Supreme Court decision.
And we're one of the 39, Pennsylvania.
We are. We were an early adopter. We came in pretty the law allowing it was actually approved before the Supreme Court decision came out, so that Pennsylvania was ready to go when this happened.
John, one of the challenges right with this is that, like, sometimes it might be obvious if you have a bunch of money all of a sudden coming in on something, it's like, all right, well, this is a red flag. Like, why in the world would a bunch of people all of a sudden all think, yep, this is going to be a ball or a strike? But one of the, if it's five people that are involved and it's just a ball here, like, this has got to be very difficult to track down. I mean, like, instinctively, we know we're not getting anywhere near all of the incidents, right?
Right.
That are occurring. And the other problem is, I mean, the gamblers or the ne'er-do-wells that are involved here can go after the players for sure. But now we're at a point where you're wondering, like, I mean, we see some calls, and it's like, well, that was way out of the zone. How is he calling that a strike? And immediately now, at least my mind goes to, oh, man, I wonder. Like, I just wonder. Was it just, yep, you missed that one, or is there a reason? I was going to be a strike no matter what. Like, it... And it starts, and so now you have managers, coaches, players, referees, all potential targets or collaborators, however you want to look at it. And, like, my mind explodes because the integrity of the game is just critical for a sports event to be legitimate.
Absolutely it is. You're right that the opportunities are much greater, and we're thinking about it a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who kind of thinks, you know, people are people wherever they are. So I've had the chance to go to an international conference on sports that dealt with sports corruption this fall in Finland, of all places. And but people from all over Europe were there. And you know, I have a colleague who is from Manchester, England, and she told me she'd done a bunch of research on a growing area of sport, which is women's soccer, right? So she's following English women soccer players as they play in Europe. And so there's a league in Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And they're, the, you know, of course they're not getting paid that much. And so they get hit like four or five times a week by gamblers who say, hey, would you throw the match today? You know, that sort of thing. The Turkey, I don't know if you, this is an obscure headline in the States, but in the nation of Turkey, they have the soccer pyramid is League 1, 2, 3, 4 going down. And they shut down this fall. They shut down Leagues 3 and 4, suspended 1,000 players and 150 officials because the games were so rigged. It's I mean, when you look at other countries, I once heard an Australian expert say the big difference between America and, this was before sports gambling became legal, was like the big fantasy in America regarding sports gambling is you don't have fixing or corruption. And I think what these scandals, bringing it all back home, what these scandals are kind of signaling to us, canary in the coal mines, is, hey, this is something we got to watch out for a lot more closely, particularly in a world where last year the handle on legalized sports gambling in America, the handle is how much is wagered, okay, was $150 billion in the United States. So, you know, it's on the leagues, it's on the governing bodies to be vigilant about what's going on, because, you know, the reason we tune in is we don't know the outcome, right? It's not the WWF.
Pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling.
There we go.
Well, and John, to your point with the, because this is the other thing I think about a lot, is that, like, I'm assuming the Super Bowl is watched like a hawk, and they're all over the place. But who's paying attention to the Patriot League game on a Tuesday night in women's basketball? And again, that's where you get two people involved.
Right.
Like, how are you going to track, you know, how many investigators can we assign to sports betting? I mean, that's got to be part of it, too, is with all of the events we have, and my God, with the mobile apps now and everything, I mean, you can bet on everything. I mean, to some extent, we've got to be just throwing our hands up now, no?
I mean, I don't think we've come to grips with exactly what you're saying, how big it is. You know, the analogy I'd use is it's kind of like a pandemic, is that by the time you realize how big it is, it's already behind you. You know, it's already everywhere. And that's exactly it. It isn't that hard to imagine. It's a short walk to imagine, you know, an official in a match that, you know, is in a mid-major conference, two bad teams, it's February, you know, hey, can you, you know, and they're betting the over-under on how many points are going to be scored, you know. Yeah, it's not that hard to imagine. And, you know, another point to all this, just to the vastness of it, when you get into the illegal side, and I know our time is limited, which I could talk all day about this, but like on the illegal side, you can bet on virtually anything. Like you can bet on really low level soccer in Europe. You can bet on all of the games you're thinking of right now. And you can place bets on Little League. Offshore this summer, my students cover the Little League World Series for the Associated Press, and the managers and organizers at Little League World Series were saying, cut this out, offshore betting, you know, operations. You know, you're betting on 12-year-olds, but if you go to Instagram, you can find guys like offering advice on, you know, Northwest versus Southeast in the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
All right, now, John, now you're making me nervous, because that was going to be sort of my next question. All right, you mentioned Major League Baseball, NBA, the professional soccer leagues in Europe. I'm a soccer guy, so I watch some of that stuff over there. And by the way, betting services have been team sponsors.
Yes, that's correct.
In England.
That's right.
They're the team sponsor, and I'm thinking, okay, there's no conflict of interest there, is it? No, holy smokes. Mm. I was going to say, all right, you work at a college right over here. What about college level? This has got to be going on at the college level. Is there any evidence of malfeasance when it comes to gambling in college level?
There's a really good, I'm not going to be able to give you the details, but around this time last year, Pat Forty and the investigative folks at Sports Illustrated did a really good piece on the teams like right at the bottom of Division One, who like basically their whole team disappeared after halfway through the season. They were losing all their games, and it was a shady situation. So I mean, there is some evidence, but I mean, the NCAA is not where you're going to get compliance. The NCAA is built to, you know, negotiate TV contracts and hold championships. Its compliance office, including everybody, is around 60 people. And, you know, if you think about, we've got over 300 basketball teams alone, you know, it's they're overwhelmed.
Yeah. That's got to be, again, I mean, who grows up thinking, you know what I want to get into is investigating sports
right.
gambling. Like,
right.
a lot of different sports jobs out there. I don't know that there's a lot of people that at least that's the, but, I mean, yeah. we need like a lot more investigators.
Yeah, and I think there also needs to be the other thing I'd say, the other piece of the equation is the gamblers themselves. It's really prevalent among young people.
Yeah.
The number of calls to helplines has doubled in Pennsylvania since this has come to pass in the last 5 years. So I think stronger warnings and letting the consumer know that, you know, there's always a chance it may not be on the up and up. And even if it is, you should think about how you want to spend your money, or, you know, a lot of your money. So that sort of thing would be really helpful.
John, has there been any indication? Because I also wonder about, like, whether or not it could happen where you are unintentionally, as an athlete, ultimately giving information that is very helpful in that, all right, I'm talking to my brother, and it's like, oh, man, our star running back twisted his ankle badly. I don't think he's going to play, or at least not much. Like, he's just gipping around, and, you know, don't let that out. And the brother tells somebody, and all of a sudden the wrong person gets that information. Like, that's got to be happening, at least on occasion, no?
It's definitely a possible scenario. I mean, I don't know of a particular example, but, you know, the point you're raising is that information is gold in the gambling world, and anywhere it comes from, you know, is valuable. So, you know, teams need to think about really locking down the info and being clear about what you can and can't say.
Yeah, I think it's why a lot of the leagues now, you have to release, mm-hmm. you know, definitely playing, probable, questionable, and why the questionable status is there.
Yeah.
What's going on there.
Exactly.
Now, John, from your knowledge, all right, you're at Penn State. All the Penn State teams. God, could you imagine, like, betting on Penn State fencing? Yeah, I guess there could be. That's kind of crazy. Do they, I mean, the athletes, do they get some kind of speech? Are they given some kind of rules? Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. Do they get anything like that?
They do. They do. They get some training on it. I'm not aware of the exact nature of the program, but I know that they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a whiff, God forbid, a whiff of anything involving Penn State teams, athletes? I've never.
Not
trying to tempt fate.
Not
get off, Geezy.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
How about other colleges, though? There must be.
Sure. I have heard things about other colleges. I don't want to name names, but
all right.
Some of them may be in our conference.
Oh, okay. Now, God forbid you mentioned Little League. High schools?
No, I've not heard. I've not heard about that. But it's not impossible.
But I mean is there betting on high schools? maybe not around here, but, you know, I see some of these websites. Here's the top 20 high school basketball teams in America. And there are teams from Florida and California and so on.
I mean, there has to be.
Yeah, exactly. Think about New Jersey as a football, high school football state. It's a fantastic high school football state. And what do we know about New Jersey? So
yeah.
No, you, Sopranos yeah, reference.
Jimmy Hoffa is buried somewhere in New Jersey. That's what I know about New Jersey. Okay. So what's the next step? I mean, you're going to, like, there's further things you and your group are going to do following this story?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something I'm going to be following closely, and we'll exactly how it's going to come out in the end, but I'm busy sort of learning what's been studied on this, and I think my role as a journalist is to sort of popularize the knowledge, you know, and just spread the word. I think it's, at the end of the day, to me, as far as my role goes, I feel like it's a little bit like concussions. You know, in the early part of this, in the aughts, the concussion crisis came out, right? And so within 3 or 4 years, everybody knew, you know, knocking your head against another guy going 20 miles an hour isn't so great for your head. And so at that point, you get to make your choice. We live in a country where you can make choices. And so, you know, if you still want to gamble, but, you know, that's your choice. And if it's legal, it's that's the thing. But look, let's be honest about what your chances of winning are, what your chances of losing are, what your chances of, like, losing big are. And, you know, is everything on the up and up? And I think if we're informing the public in a way that they have full access to the knowledge in a way that's easy, maybe not just an 800 number stuffed in the end of a commercial, then that's what the public bodies have to do.
All right. Well, John, you have to go teach a class or something.
Thank you. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Now, the final question, John, since you work at Penn State in sports journalism, you obviously know who the next football coach is going to be, right?
Well, I don't have any special knowledge, but I have a candidate among the ones left who I think would probably do a really good job. I'll go with Al Golden.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Former Nittany Lion.
Coaching
success.
Right. He turned I'm a Domer. I'm a Notre Dame guy. That's where I went to school.
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
But he turned the defense around. Boy, they were a lot more fierce after he got there. And, you know, I think he might be ready to step back into the college ranks after this. We could do worse.
Okay.
That is for sure.
Very interesting. How much you want to bet on that, John?
Oh, Here we go.
Oh, we're stopping right there. All right.
Thank you very much.
Go teach your course. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate that.